Welcome to Conversations with Friends, a space for slow, unplanned, and deeply human conversations. I'm Linda, a German in my early 30s, a traveler who has spent more than 5 years exploring the world. And I'm talking to my friend Marco, an Italian in his late 60s, an artist who chose a simple life on the beautiful island of La Gomera after living many different lives across the world. Two friends from different generations, different worlds, coming together to explore what it means to be alive, curious, and connected. We couldn't be more different, and that's exactly why we meet here, as friends across generations to share our thoughts, questions, and stories. Nothing is scripted. We don't know where the conversation will lead, only that it will be real, honest, and rooted in what moves us. This is Conversations with Friends.
Buenas tardes, chica.
Hi, Marco. How do you feel today?
To be honest, a little low in energy in this particular moment. How about you, Linda?
Yeah, same. Maybe it's because we just had food, dinner, long day.
You think it was a burger?
Maybe.
And the beer?
Maybe.
But we won't allow it to dictate our decisions.
I think it's also allowed to sometimes just have a low energy episode and still show up in this. We don't always have to be high energy.
Too true, too true.
And besides my energy level, I still feel like super excited about this project. I have the feeling we both do. Like, we really want to record these episodes and...
like, yes. Because... it's my experience that each time we meet, we talk about so many interesting things. Regardless, I mean... we were at the beach a few hours ago and... the stuff we discussed was really interesting.
Yeah.
But also there is a feeling that, at least inside me, there is a feeling that the time may have come for two people making themselves open and vulnerable to a public audience without an agenda, without trying to change anything, without even trying to make money. But simply because there's value to who we are and to what we have to say, I think.
I'm also excited about sending this out, but also yesterday I had a phone call with a friend and I told her about this project that we're doing and she was so excited about it and she said she wants to listen to it and she also said it's so great that you're creating these memories together. It's so beautiful for your friendship. And that also brought like a new perspective because she said, no matter how long this project will go, maybe in 10 years, you will listen to these podcast episodes again and you will remember this time. And I've never thought about it like this, but it's just such a beautiful thought.
Yes.
Yeah. And also lately I read a book and it was like a... like at the end of the book, there was attached a few pages that the writer just wrote to the audience. And they said something like, writing a book is also sort of like a time capsule where you put some certain phase of your life in. Because as a writer, when you write a book, you're in a certain phase of your life and this totally influences what you write and how you see things. And you can sort of make this available to the audience, but also for yourself. You just save sort of this chapter of your life by writing it down. And I feel the same about this podcast, because we will continue growing, and maybe in 2 years we will listen to this and we will laugh at ourselves,
yes,
what we thought, and yeah, how our opinions were. And I'm totally fine with it, because if it shows growth, I'm happy,
yeah,
to make it visible.
Yeah.
But just to save these moments and yeah, this chapter of our life.
Yeah. Very true. I had that experience when I told you I wrote my memoir.
Mm.
And the most fun thing about rereading it is to see how I felt about things and how I looked at myself when I wrote them, which was 14, 15 years ago now.
Mm.
It's not that I immediately see, oh my, you've changed.
Mm.
No, but I can feel it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when you're growing, you have the feeling, because there's always more and more to explore, right? And you always see what you haven't achieved yet, also in personal growth. And then sometimes you forget about what you've already achieved. And last year, last summer, I went to visit my parents, and I went into, they have this storage space where I have like one box full of personal stuff. And I went through this box to see what I have there, and I found an old journal that I used to write in. And I'm not sure, I think it was maybe from 2019. So at this point, it was like 5 years ago. And I opened it and I read through it. And it was already a time where I focused on personal growth, but also manifestation and stuff. And I wrote down my dream life, the things I wish for my future. And I read it 5 years after I wrote it.
Yeah.
And almost everything came true. And I was sitting there, I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, I wish to have an online business that was working and that was making enough money so that I could travel. And reading it last year was like, I'm already traveling for more than 4 years making money from this online business.
Yeah.
And there were so many things that were not even my goals anymore, things that I had outgrown. But 5 years before that, they were my goals. And sometimes I really have to remember and to think for myself that it's not always just reaching the next step. Sometimes we have to take some time to look back at what we've already achieved and be grateful for it.
Yes.
Because we're not making goals once in our life and then we achieve them and then we live the perfect life forever. We will always continue outgrowing our goals, making new goals, and it's a never-ending process, which is beautiful, but it also needs this time to really appreciate and be grateful for where we are right now. And what we're living now has at some point been our vision board.
Must have been. Otherwise it wouldn't be what we are living now.
Yeah.
I think you're so right. I think there's a tendency also, when we achieve a goal, to so rapidly skip through that moment and get on to the next one, that we barely remember that there was a time when we really ached for this. Mm-hmm. We longed for it. We prayed for it. We hungered for it. And then when it comes, we go, oh yeah, that's a tick, next.
Yeah.
And instead, and also, we don't, that the rapidity with which we skip over that step prevents us from really appreciating how absolutely, immaculately this process works.
Yeah.
That we ache, we long, we desire, we create, we fulfill that desire.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and it, in other words, that we manifest our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also true that sometimes we can look at the results of what's manifested and recognize some of the things we didn't really want.
Mm-hmm.
But then if we're honest, they were part of the dream.
Yeah.
They were perhaps in the shadows, and we didn't highlight them, but they were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or a little bit of fear that we had that this might happen, and boom, there it is.
Yeah. And I also think that besides of, like, being grateful for reaching a goal, what is even more important is all the steps we had to take to reach the goal. Because what I realized is when I achieved big things, like, for example, publishing my books, I always thought, oh, the moment I'm going to publish my book, this will be the greatest moment in my life, sort of. And then the book is published and I'm like, okay, it's just a normal day like any other day. That's a bit weird, which sort of set me free from thinking that a goal would help me, like reaching a goal would help me to feel more happy in my life. Mm. But I think reaching the goal is only like 1% of the whole thing. But growing into the person that is able to reach the goal, that's the beautiful thing. Because, for example, staying with this example of the book, when I first thought of writing a book, I didn't know how to do it and I didn't believe I could do it. But then I started working on myself, believing in myself. So I was able to make a phone call to like a publishing company and ask them if they would be interested, and then write the first draft and then send it in, and then sitting there and waiting for their reply and then getting it accepted and then writing the book. And there were so many obstacles I had to overcome, things I had to grow in, like believing in myself that I could do it. And I think that's even more beautiful than actually reaching the goal. That's just the last step. That this is what makes it visible that you grew. But the whole process of growth is actually way more important, because this opens so many more doors for the future.
Hmm. Yeah.
Do you actively set goals for yourself?
No. No, I don't. But it doesn't mean that I don't. I confess, I don't know what would be best for me in the future or for the world.
Mm.
And so I'm a bit reticent to set goals that might prove to be unfulfilling or not satisfying, because I've done that so much in my in my life. Worked very hard only to find out that reaching that goal did not satisfy the sweet spot as I thought it might. And so I'm trying something different. I started trying something different. I do not set goals. I assume that life already has goals for me. And I try to perceive what they might be.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the standpoint of what would please me, but from the standpoint of what would make life happy.
Mm-hmm.
What would reveal my purpose? How can I help? How can I inject my spirit into this world most effectively and usefully?
Mm-hmm.
And very often the answer to those questions doesn't have a specific form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an intention more than a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I let it be that. And I accept, then that means that I accept whatever comes.
Yeah.
With magnanimity and in the assumption that that's exactly what should be happening. Mm-hmm.
So if you set a goal, you usually make a plan and then you do the steps, right? So you have a direction. But the thing you're talking about, not setting goals, but just trusting that what should happen will happen.
Yeah.
How do you do it on a daily basis? Like, how do you know which direction to go, what choices to make, what decisions to make?
I have a practice that I carry out whereby I start my day with a meditation, in which, during which time I clear my mind of all goals. And because the learned automatic response that we have to life is to create goals. So you really have to make an effort to clear space from goals. So I start with a meditation in which I invite inspiration. And at some point during that time, I scan the options that I have, the things I must do, and which ones of those energizes me at the moment, which ones of those options makes me feel yes. Yes, I get an answer from deep inside that goes, I want to do that. I love to do that. And that's what I'll spend my day doing.
Mm.
Or that's at least the way I will start.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to keep my experience fixed in the moment, in the day, and respond to requirements that are real rather than imagined. But you know, there are things that excite me, like projects like this podcast come up out of the blue. You hadn't planned it. I hadn't planned it. But it's motivating both of us to do more and more of these episodes. And we write to each other and we say, okay, how's it going? Well, when should we do the next one? And it's obvious that we are excited about it. And that's how my life is on a consistent basis. So I don't have a long-term project or a long-term goal. I assume that all these are bits and pieces, like a mosaic. You put the pieces in the right spot in a mosaic, but you don't have the complete picture straight away. It's not like a painting where you develop a concept or an idea. With a mosaic, you really have a blue piece and you decide to put it there, an orange piece, and it goes there. And you don't see the design of it until many pieces are placed into the picture. But when you do, it's magnificent and it's surprising and it's exciting. And you say, I'd never have figured that out on my own. Yeah. I could never have dreamt of a podcast with Linda or doing something like this. And that unexpectedness gives excitement and surprise and novelty to my life. That's how I do it.
So would you say that the direction in your actions, in your life, is based on following your excitement, following your joy?
Yes. Passion, joy, excitement. There is no faking it. When you're in the midst of a meditation, there's no faking that this thought is, yes. It's either there or it's not, you know. And what is that? Yes, it's passion, it's joy, it's pleasure, it's ease and confidence and a bunch of positive feelings that come to meet it and greet it, greet that thought.
And do you also sometimes have times in your life when nothing brings you joy? You don't feel excitement? There's nothing to do right now?
I confess, yes.
And how do you deal with this?
I use nature as a teacher. So I observe nature. And what I see are cycles, annual, repeated, cyclical processes that are reflected in the seasons. So that a plant is seeded in a certain season, develops underground invisibly for a while, emerges above ground and begins to grow stronger for a while, and then usually in the summer there is a major blossoming of flower and fruit, and it's harvested, and then at the end of the process it returns in winter back to a barren state of sleepiness and quietness. So nature itself is not always exciting. Nature has its pauses, its rest periods, its times when it's everything's happening but invisibly because it's underground. And so I steward my thoughts pretty much in the same way. So let's have a choice of five things to do today. At which moment in the cycle are they? Are they ideas that are still germinating underground, therefore require more time and quiet space, no action needed on my part? Which ones are the ideas that are beginning to flourish and require some watering, some attention, some action?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are the ideas that are ready to be plucked from the tree and consumed as fruit? And those are the ones who give me the maximum enjoyment. Mm-hmm. So there are times in my life, in my days, in which none of these are at that phase, none of the ideas that I might have are at that phase of excitement, in which case it's maintenance time. And I will do chores that do not necessarily excite me, but which are required nonetheless, you know. And I will find joy in another way, joy in my determination, in my consistency, in my fortitude, in my spirit. Does that make sense? Or is
it not? I think it's a very beautiful picture.
Okay, good.
I think it's great to think of them like that. Because I can feel that when you said in meditation, it becomes clear what is the thing that brings joy and excitement and that wants to be done now. I realize with myself that sometimes it's hard to figure out, is it my heart speaking or is it my mind speaking? And then especially in those times when we, let's call it the inner winter, maybe, when we're like sitting in a void and none of our ideas are ready to be worked on and we just have to wait and give it more time, these are the times when my mind goes crazy and is like, you cannot do nothing right now. Like, come up with a new idea, do something. And then there's always this risk of starting too early or of starting something that is not actually coming from my heart and that I'm stuck with this.
Oh, yeah. But that is so recognizable, what you just described, which means that I must go through the same things.
Mm-hmm.
What I can imagine is that the longer you do, the more you get to know yourself, mm-hmm. the more you understand how to handle the different moments mm-hmm. in the cycle, the less you fight against silly things. Mm-hmm. The more you find a way to relax when your mind rebels.
Mm.
And it's a function of continuing to practice while you and you absorb and learn more
mm-hmm.
and more as you go.
Yeah. I can already see some progress in this.
I'm sure.
I've become so much better in this over the years. And I think it was not only the process of learning more about myself. It was also the process of unlearning things that I have learned and like deconditioning. Because allowing myself to absolutely do nothing and just rest and just wait until it's time to start. This was the thing in the beginning. It was impossible for me because what I've learned throughout my whole life was like, you have to be productive. You always have to do something. And it was so hard for me in the beginning. I was always thinking like, if I knew there was a new idea coming up and if I could see the next step is coming, then I could totally relax in this time right now. But I didn't trust it. So I had to unlearn that it's not allowed to just rest. And I had to trust that the seasons will change within me. And the path will be clear, the next step will be clear at some point. It was both at the same time.
Yeah. I remember first, to be honest, I'm not the one who first thought of the concepts I just described to you.
Yeah.
I heard them from someone else when I was a young man. And I'm saying this because I think that our own biology changes as we get older and we are less rebellious of times of rest as we get older. You know what I mean? Like when you hear this story at 20 with all your hormones pumping out at maximum speed and you're on... You're completely biased towards action versus reflection at 20, just simply because the adrenaline pumps out, you know, the sex hormones are pumping, everything is going on, and just relaxing sounds boring as hell. Meditation doesn't make any sense to you. The minute you close your eyes, you think, what the fuck am I doing here? Can't you think of anything more exciting to do? With time, I guess what I'm saying, with time, your biology changes. And you're more and more acclimated to the passing of the seasons as a cyclical event that you've learned and you've seen and observed many times over. I think we partly mature naturally into a greater ability to see life in those terms. Having said that, you know, I take my hat off to those like your age who can do it. Yeah.
So do you think aging is a great thing?
Yes. Honestly, surprisingly so. It is, because, okay, that's one of the things I unlearned. I thought that, hell, after 50 it was going to be all downhill. I thought this was a bell curve type graph in which you grow very fast at the beginning and you reach some kind of peak around age 50, and then from there on it's just a slow, inevitable, sad downfall into irrelevance and stupidity and senility and breakdown. And I'm surprised to be able to say that that's not at all what happened. Not at all.
What happened?
It didn't work that way. I mean, I was convinced it would.
Yeah.
But it did not. No, on the contrary. Yes, your physical body starts to lose some of its sharpness. Whether it's in the speed at which you can run or the weight you can lift or you know, measurably,
mm.
or the sharpness of your vision mm. and your hearing, it becomes measurably less.
Mm.
On the other hand, what you don't know until it happens to you is that your heart opens more and more.
Mm.
And you become perceptive to things that you were not aware of before. And you begin to see the richness of what is behind the obvious. And that obvious always took all of your attention. And suddenly you see layers and layers behind it of magnificence. And it's life is more and more enchanting as a result.
Mm.
And it turns on yourself. You begin to see yourself as in the same light, as more and more magnificent, not less and less. Your things that I was certain of, you know, that my sexuality would disappear, mm. that, and I would miss it, so I might as well accept it ahead, so I'm not disappointed, sort of thing, you know. None of that happened. And my body didn't actually give up as quickly as I thought it would,
mm.
and it's still capable of doing most things.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, big surprise. Getting old is not at all what it's sold to be.
That's great news.
It's freaking great news. You have nothing but beauty, continuous beauty to look forward to. And I'm convinced that it'll be that way till the day I die.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And do you think that is a natural process that happens to everyone? Or do you think it comes with all your... everything you've learned, everything you experience, and maybe also your practice, like meditation and the painting and the decisions you made?
Look, you're asking me to comment on something that I don't feel qualified or capable of doing now, mm. because I only know the life I have.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't really know what anyone else's experience is. So is it true for everybody? Can I take any credit for it? No. But I sense, if I had to guess, and I would sense at least the potential of that is present in everyone.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And then it depends on what they make out of it, right? Because you have a choice to focus on the richness
yeah.
that is there, or to focus on, for example, your body getting weaker. It's a choice what you focus on.
Honestly, it isn't much of a choice for me. You know?
Yeah.
And can I take credit for that? No. Maybe it's just part of my personality, but... Mm. No, I know I have a shit-hot body, even at 68. I know that I'm blessed
mm.
with a strong body, which sometimes I abuse, sometimes I judge, but stupidly, because he's magnificent and needs my love and my appreciation
mm.
in order to continue to be magnificent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feeds on my appreciation for it, my body. I think I'm as well as I am, not so much because of the wonderful food I eat or whatever, all the exercise I do. I think it's because I have learned to love this body as it is, with my knobbly knees, my weird feet... my skinniness and yeah, it's perfect. I think my body is perfect, and I think that when I feel that, it just soaks up that love and
mm-hmm.
answers back with stronger cell growth, greater health. You know, It says it's good to be alive. Let's stick around.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. Such a loved body.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, it's always nice when somebody else loves it too. Then you have, when you're in a relationship, that happens. It's lovely when somebody else loves my body. But I'm not in a relationship right now. And so I love it on my own. I can offer it my love.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did we get onto the subject?
I don't remember.
It's life. You see, life is wild. It just has its own. Its own plan. I guess the subject and looking at where we sit, we are sitting around a table in my art gallery. And as I look around, I'm surrounded by paintings that I've painted.
Yeah.
Each one of which tells a story about a state of mind that I was in at that time, which is precious to me.
Yes.
And every now and then my eye settles on one of the paintings and I go, damn, that's good. It's always a different one that stands out that way. And all the others are not in focus right now. That one is tonight. But every day, every moment, there's a different painting that shouts at me. Look at this one. This one is an abstract. It took me months to paint it because I was never satisfied with it. I called it Facing My Fear of Drowning. And it was a very dark representation of something that I'd always felt when I first arrived on this island that wasn't comfortable in the water. I was afraid of that element.
Yeah.
And I put it on the canvas. And then I continued to work on it when I felt like it for at least a year afterwards. And during that year, I became familiar with the water. I began to feel at home in the water. And the painting changed until I was satisfied with the final result. Is it an aesthetic pleasure that I get out of it, or is it that it symbolizes the fulfillment of a healing process between me and the ocean? I think it's the latter. But then it's also the aesthetics.
I feel really honored to sit in your art studio to record this podcast, because I think this art is so precious, because like in this podcast, also into your art, you put everything you have, everything you are.
Yep.
It's so raw. Like these episodes. No filter.
Yeah. I think one of the greatest obstacles that every artist meets up against, and perhaps everybody alive, is the obstacle of self-judgment. Meaning, when you paint something or you sculpt something, usually your mind creates a constant monologue of self-depreciation. That's ugly. What the hell are you doing? How can you improve it? Surely you don't think that this is ever going to be something presentable. And that's the big obstacle. The mind. The self-judgmental mind. And to overcome it, there's no other way but to silence it. Silence the mind. And allow the spirit of what inspired the movement through you to continue regardless. And if you do that, eventually you get to the point where your mind is proven wrong. And you go, oh my God, the mind itself goes, shit, I was wrong. This has actually turned out into something good. And it's surprising to the mind because the mind always expects the worst.
So nice. Thank you, mind.
Yeah. And when life actually turns out not to be anywhere near as terrible as you thought.
It's so interesting how we feel life, because I can see it right now. I'm house sitting in this beautiful place. I mean, you know the house, it's just a beautiful house. And basically the view is the same every day, you know? I mean, the weather might change a bit, but basically it's the same every day. And I'm in the same situation every day. But still, every day is totally different. And there are days I have always, like, my morning looks the same, you know? I always sit on the same chair, drinking my coffee, looking at the same view. And there are days where I'm sitting there, I'm almost in tears because I can't believe how beautiful this is and how lucky I am to live this life. And then there are days when I'm sitting there and I'm angry. And I'm like, oh, I didn't live up to my potential. And I will never reach my goals. And, you know, I have this voice of my mind. It's like super loud. And then I have days where I sit there and I'm sad because something happened on the outside. And the world doesn't change in this moment. Like, basically every day I have the same situation, but I feel so different every day. And this changes everything. This changes if I can see the beauty, if I can appreciate it, if I make a problem out of it, if I struggle.
Completely.
And it's just the voice of my mind. Waking up thinking, is my mind nice to me today?
Yep.
Or is it angry at me? Or is it creating problems?
Yep.
And I can really feel that throughout the last weeks that I've spent so much time by myself in this exact place, my mind got calmer and calmer and my days got brighter and brighter. I can already feel still that there's a bit of fear, like, will it come back and how will it feel? But also I realized that I can do things to put my mind into a direction. And it's not that I just have to wake up and see how it goes. I'm also creating it. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah. I was thinking how what you were describing is how subjective our experiences.
Totally.
Like, our world tends to glorify objectivity. Being objective means being neutral, impartial, and absolutely clear in one's observation and assessment. And verified by everybody else who must feel the same way. Then we have an objective perspective. But as you've just described, there's an enormous subjective element to the way the same image, the view from your house, is experienced every day. It doesn't change. Like you said, it's always the same house on the same hill looking down on the same gorgeous view. But you don't experience it the same way every day. It's subjective because your feelings are not the same, your mood is not the same, your thoughts are not the same. And so we are mostly, it's time to face it, not objective, subjective beings. And that's just the way it's supposed to be. We shouldn't be trying to be so objective about everything. It's okay for me to have my crazy experiences and that they be different from yours.
Yeah.
Like, I like shamanic journeys. Which is a totally subjective experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you describe it? I mean, some people would call it lucid dreaming. Jungians might call it active imagination. But what's certain is that nobody would call it objective reality.
Yeah.
And yet, I can do it. I can do shamanic journeys. And that means it's real.
Mm.
I don't care whether you see it too or you don't see it too. I have to acknowledge the fact that I can.
Mm-hmm. And you can not only see it, you can also feel it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Completely. It's a... I guess what I'm saying is that we must stop vilifying subjective experience, subjective areas of our lives, perceptions that we have that can't be verified with scientific methodology. Screw it, so what? Are you going to negate the fact that you're having this experience just because you can't scientifically verify it? Better not. I would suggest that it's like cutting off a limb when you do that. So one of the things I've unlearned is to be objective.
That's great.
I prefer being subjective. Where, everything in any case is going to be filtered through my consciousness.
Mm.
Everything I experience, it's not going to be the same as yours, and it's not going to fit into an acceptable pattern.
Mm.
I must stop feeling bad about that and actually feel proud of it.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Glad you agree.
Yeah, I think it's great.
How do you feel?
Today, in this moment?
Yeah.
I just feel really happy. I feel like I'm in the blooming phase of my cycle right now, the cycle you described. I have the feeling that right now I just wanna enjoy it all, everything there is right now. Knowing that it will change at some point and being in acceptance for that. But I just feel full of pure joy, of like fresh hope for new things coming. And also I feel proud of myself for all the work I've done, because especially the last month, there was so much going on, and there were dark days and dark faces, and I was just sitting with it. I didn't run away. I didn't try to change it. I mean, I sort of tried to change it, but not like purely changing it. I was trying to work my way through and create something from it and grow out of it. And I think I did it. Like right now I feel in a place where I've overcame a lot of obstacles, I've grown a lot, and now I just want to enjoy it and harvest the fruit. And yeah, I feel really good.
Tell me some of the fruits you're harvesting. if you can do that, I mean, perhaps something too personal, but those things that you're comfortable.
I think one fruit I'm harvesting is just purely our friendship, for example. Because I have the feeling that it came so easy, but being back on this island for the third time, the third year, and realizing how we're like deepening our friendship, our connection, our conversations, just feels like such a big gift to me. And this is also because I invested my time and my energy and I opened my heart and I talked openly and I showed myself. And this is a result of it. And therefore also, of course, these conversations that we're having here. But it feels like such a joy in my life. And it came from, yeah, I mean, I always think that we can only attract what we are, sort of, what matches our energy. So I can see that all the work I've done results in attracting this friendship. Mm-hmm. And also this situation with the podcast, which feels beautiful. So the work pays off, sort of. Not that it was that I had to feel I have to put the work so that something will come out of it. It's like a beautiful surprise to find such a good friend and share this time. But then also I can see it in smaller things. I remember like when I arrived here that I had so many fights with myself where I was sitting in the house and I was like, I have to go out today. I have to do something. I have to go to a cafe because I felt like I have to use my time in a good way. And so many days I felt very introverted. I realized there's a lot going on within me and I don't feel brave enough to go somewhere by myself. And I don't feel energetic enough to leave the house and to show up somewhere. But I had the thought, I have to do it and I have to go for a hike and whatever. And realizing now I could completely let go of it. And if I have a day where I stay in the house, I don't question it. I just stay in the house. But there are also so many days where I just go out and go to the beach or go somewhere because I feel it and I totally enjoy it. And when I feel like, okay, now I've spent enough time outside, I'm going to go back home, I do it. And this fight has stopped because I sort of made peace with whatever is. And this set free so much energy that I can now go out more often, because what actually killed all my energy was this constant fight with myself. And I can see it in so many parts of my life, just looking at the pure life I've created over the past years. I'm just so proud of this life I've created, of my friendships, these beautiful people, these amazing, interesting, inspiring people that want to be my friends, which sort of means I'm matching their energy somehow. And they're also getting something out of this. This is so beautiful. But then also how I learned to set boundaries and therefore created even more beautiful relationships. But then also thinking that everything I do, like every place I am at or every part of my work I do is something I've created out of myself. I've never worked for someone else or worked on someone else's dreams. I've always worked on my own dreams. And this right now is a phase. I just also started a new work project. I started this giving oracle card readings. Yes. I just started it maybe 5 weeks ago. And
that was very gutsy. Yeah. Really. You did really good.
And seeing the feedback, seeing how people like it and how people, I wouldn't say they need it, but they appreciate me doing it.
And what about how much you like doing it?
Yes, I love it. Yeah.
Because I suspect that you have found a mechanism to harness your perceptions to such a fine degree that you can use the turn of the cards with an intention to create a picture for a third party who's asked you for a reading.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
And the feedback that you receive is that it's relevant and useful.
Yeah.
And you trusted that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's magnificent.
Totally.
Do you not realize how, what a leap into the dark you took? And
yeah.
you, it turned out trumps, that you actually do have that capacity.
Yeah.
And so you've opened up a whole new world
yeah.
for yourself.
And
it's magic.
There's so much behind it. Also, allowing myself to show myself with it. Because I was pulling oracle cards for myself for years, but I always thought, oh, I'm a psychologist. And yeah. I can only do things that are like scientifically based, you know? I
yeah.
can't just do random oracle cards, even though I believe in it, but this has to be my hidden private project. And I overcame this. I overcame this limiting belief that as a psychologist, I cannot offer something like this. And now I realize I can. And stuff like this, it's just, right now I feel like a lot of different strings that I've worked on sort of form something together, you know? It becomes a bigger picture of like where work I've done over years in different sections of my life suddenly seems to pay off at the same time. And this is like such a full circle moment where I have the feeling I'm so connected to myself, because I know I'm gonna be a different person in a month from now. But right now, in this moment, I feel like I'm truly living the life of the person that I am right now. And then something new will come up and I will have to do more work and I will grow into something new, and I'm already looking forward to it. But right now, I'm just enjoying being like in my full integrity with whatever I am right now.
Yes, I can feel that. And it's very, very nourishing. To be with a person who's, is, as you described it, in your integrity, is a pleasure for anybody to be with you.
Mm.
Yeah. And, you know, let's not underestimate your courage, because you have the courage to follow your instincts. Your instincts, not somebody else's, not what you read in somebody else's blog, yours.
Yeah.
Your inspiration. And you come up with products
yeah.
that reflect that. You
yeah.
come up with concepts, with ideas, with incredibly courageously. And is there any, would you say, has there ever been a time when it has failed you, when you trusted an impulse such as the one that we talked about of reading cards and it didn't work? Is there ever a time when it let you down?
I don't think so. I think the times that didn't work were either when I listened to someone else's advice.
Yeah.
Or when I had like this gut feeling but I didn't follow it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, this is when it went wrong. I never had a bad experience following it. And also just lately, I realized, because you said this about reading something in someone's blog.
Yeah.
And I just realized that I truly needed a break from outside stimulation, like
yeah.
reading stuff,
yeah.
listening to other people's concepts. It was confusing me. It was distancing me from myself, distancing me from my own experiences.
Yeah.
And I really took a break. Like, yeah, I stopped consuming so much. And it was hard in the beginning because I felt lost. Like when I arrived here, I didn't feel completely lost, but there were some parts in me that were anxious and felt lost. And then the easiest is to just look, what can I find in the outside that will guide me? But instead, I decided I will find something in the inside that will guide me. And it was not easy, but now I have the feeling, yeah, I could trust this. And I needed to cut off some outside information to see clearer on the inside.
Amen.
It's a beautiful life.
Let's hear an amen. No, seriously, it's so agree. I think we each have an intimate connection with the self.
Hmm.
The soul, and the soul, the self, ache to emerge.
Mm.
They're the only ones worth listening to.
Mm.
It's where our inspiration needs to come from. And the external world is not supposed to have that power.
Yeah.
We are supposed to direct it
100%
towards our inner integrity, our inner voice, our inner hearing, our and it's then that we are coordinating with life and every other creature on in the universe who's doing the same thing, and we create beauty like this magnificent freaking podcast.
I realized that sometimes if I only try to listen to my inner voice, it's sometimes a limited voice, just because of that sometimes I cannot imagine things I haven't seen yet. And sometimes I need inspiration from the outside. I need to see people that are a few steps ahead to see what they're doing to get inspiration. But I think one of the most important steps was to realize this is only for inspiration. This is not a guidebook. I can get inspired. I can crush my limitations by watching them and realizing if they can have it, I can have it. If they can do it, I can do it. But then coming back to finding my own way to live up to my potential and not just following theirs, because another person's path will never be as powerful to you as your own path.
Yes. Yes. Yes to all of it. So we inspire each other to come back to our own voice.
Yeah, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think this was a very beautiful conversation.
I agree, and it's getting dark.
It's getting really dark. I enjoyed it so much. Thank you for this episode, Marco.
Thank you, Linda.
Hear you next time.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being here, for listening, for sharing this space with us. May these conversations remind you to open yourself to people who are different from you and to discover what you can learn from them. We'd love to hear your thoughts and reflections. Feel free to share them with us. Check the show notes for more about us and join us again for the next conversation.